ready for this? Howdy, folks, let's gather around for the best sports talk in town. We got our hosts, Darren, Tim, and Chris. Baby, can't get better than this. Give out all the power rankings. Laugh at all the teams tanking. A lot of fun, a lot of surprise. Let's give it up for the guys in this league.
Yeehaw! Name a better way you can tell you're in preseason form than a random drum roll in the middle of a theme song.
Beautiful.
Unbelievable, man.
The faces when I accidentally press the button. I'm like, oh. Well, well, well. Look who we have here. The boys are back in town, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to episode 78 of the This League there. Fantasy Football Podcast. It is the evening of August 20th, 2024. And I'm saying it right now. This is the first episode of season 5, ladies and gentlemen. Season 5. We haven't been like kicked off of like podcast streaming platforms or anything like that. So that's fantastic news. Fantastic news for everybody. I am your host, Chris Mitchum, owner of Team Fair Life. Across from me in person, we have Aaron Hunt, the owner of Let Russ Microwave.
What is going on, everybody? It's been a minute since I've been in front of a mic. I feel a little rusty. I don't know about you, but
I'm getting that first podcast nervousness all over again. And virtually, still here with us in spirit, it is Tim Rader, the owner of Close But No Jamar.
Yep, I'm still alive, not dead, here, there, in spirit. You know, it's going crazy that 5 years ago we started this whole thing. It doesn't feel like that.
5 years ago? 2019? For real?
Yeah, and then 2020, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Because I think our first season was COVID. I think it was.
Because I think first season would have been 2020, right?
I think so, yeah. Wow. Wow. That's wild. That's wild. How are we not billionaires yet?
I know.
We have, as always, a packed show for you guys. We are going to recap quickly the playoffs, the championship, because a certain somebody has not been given his roses, has not been celebrated properly. So we are going to remedy that, give you a full playoff review as well as a championship review. And then, of course, we have the leagues. The leagues are back, ladies and gentlemen. We are giving out some awards. The haters say we couldn't do it, but here we are. The Leagues 2024 coming at you in this episode, as well as an overall winners and losers of the offseason. We're going to try our best to limit the rookie impact because we have another episode that dives into that deeply for you guys coming up. But so we are going to just look at the offseason in general in the NFL world and whose teams benefited versus whose teams didn't, the winners and losers of the offseason. I am happy to be back, and I'm even happier because I have a dynamic drink of the week. Go ahead, Aaron. You blessed me with this thing. Tell them what we're drinking.
We got the coveted Spotted Cow, which is only available in the great state of Wisconsin. Had to pick that up when I was there a couple of weekends ago.
She's hitting real nice tonight. Got the podcast beer back. That's like a top 10 beer. It's got to be.
Yeah, has to be.
Friday beers, beer when you get off of work, lake beer,
golf beer.
Golf beer, yep.
Podcast beer. Well,
and I would argue a baseball game, or did you say a ball game? Baseball?
I didn't, but that's a good one.
Yeah. Ooh, baseball as well is pretty elite. Game.
Take out a mortgage, but that's worth it.
Yeah. Depending on the ballpark.
I know. Tim, what are you sipping over there?
We are rocking like what we're stocked with right now. Yingling Light Lager.
I like it. You're a dad now. You got to stay on your toes.
A healthy choice, Tim. I like it.
Got to stay on your toes. I like it. All right. Well, the last time we recorded for you guys, we left you guys just in the cold. We left you guys, round one of the playoffs was over, and then we just left you. So we're going to quickly run through the rest of the playoff and give this man the roses he deserves. Shall we, gentlemen?
Let's go.
In case you have forgotten, we had 6 playoff teams in this league. The number one seed, somehow, with the 5th most points scored. Of course, it was Stretch coming in as the one seed. The number two seed was Aaron winning the Chipotle division,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Three seed was Anthony, also from the Chipotle division. The four seed was your boy, Team Fairlife, also from the Chipotle division. Fifth seed was Hayden, you guessed it, from the Chipotle division. And then the sixth seed, Mr. Tim, Mr. Close But No Jamar, who got in on the last week just over Steven, if you have to recall. But he snuck in there. And then we already went through the first round of playoffs in the last episode. If you want to get details of those, you can go there. But your boy defeated Hayden 138 to 110. And Anthony defeated Tim, sent Close But No Jamar home 153 to 140, and that led into the second round of the playoffs where Stretch and Aaron got to play. Stretch, unfortunately, for all the good guys, for what is holy, for all of the good people in the world, defeated your boy 126 to 84, and Anthony then defeated Aaron 195 God to 125. I genuinely feel like you guys, if you guys weren't so nice to each other, you guys could probably have the best rivalry of the league. I feel like every time you play, there's something huge on the line.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like Anthony and I are way too nice to each other. But that's just who Anthony is. It's hard to be mad at Anthony.
It is, especially since he broke his foot. We're thinking of you, yeah. Anthony.
Shouts out to your ankle. Hope it's better and stuff.
We're thinking of you, brother. All right, and that means your championship, ladies and gentlemen. This is the third time this has been a championship matchup in 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. It was between Anthony and Team Uninspired Youth and Stretch and Team Walker. I hardly know her. Let's see how this thing played out.
Well, Chris, two out of three times Stretch got the best of Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
in this one, Anthony gets his revenge.
The good guy wins. The good
so guy wins. Many years in contention, and he finally reaches the summit. Lamar Jackson put the team on his back and did the damn thing.
Sure did.
46 points in a championship round. That is a knockout blow. That took him essentially all the way. Because if you look at the rest of Anthony's roster up and down, not so great. CMC only came in with about 13 points. The rest of his guys were middling between, you know, anywhere from as low as 5. His defense with negative points.
Oh my
all
God.
The way up to, you know, Travis Kelce with 4, which it just, you know, some very disappointing performances. CMC gets hurt, so limited him to 13, which could have been a lot more against the Washington Commanders. It was a down week for Stretch in a lot of respects, and Lady Luck finally wore off for
yeah,
him.
Yeah, about time, dude. God. And the fact that he didn't even break 100 is even better.
Yeah.
Mr. Fifth Highest Look. Scorer in the league.
It feels like Stretch could just never eclipse 130 points in playoffs. I'd have to go back and look and see in the history of this league if he's ever eclipsed 130 in the playoffs. But somehow he limps to the championship game, faces off against Anthony, and a true championship by Anthony, and was won this week. And then, you know, when it comes to the week prior, really, I think in my mind, that was the championship. Put 195 points on my
All right. Okay. Okay.
But Stretch's bench, you know, popped off as well, which is pretty satisfying. It had to be satisfying as well for Anthony to see that. Job well done to the champ to get his ship while Kelce and CMC are able to stay healthy, be dogs for him before they got too old. They were in their prime, and Anthony's still right there this year too.
Yeah, I would say so. You guys are better at the quick math than I am, but if Stretch would have started, say, Kyler Murray over Stafford, and say James Conner over Ty Chandler, which I think were at the time probably pretty reasonable. I'm not sure if that point difference would have made a difference, because I mean, you had Stafford put up 14 while you had Kyler put up 28, and then you had James Conner put up 26 while Ty Chandler only put up 9. So I'm not sure what the
I think
point
he would is. I think he would have still been short by about like 4 to 5 points, but that would have been a ball game. Especially with Anthony's negative defense. Like, the storyline there would have been electric.
Yes, absolutely. So that's what I call, like, a comfortable loss.
Yeah.
You know, you're not beating yourself up over something, you know, a bad lineup decision or something like that. So Anthony, La Pinta, man. I mean, what a great day. What a great time for the league. What a great time for just the history books, you know? Anthony, I know you, probably more than anybody else, not named Tim, have been through a lot of heartbreak in this league, particularly when we were all over at Tim's house with the infamous, they're going to overtime, and he still didn't get it, and all that jazz. I remember you sitting there, teary-eyed with a Justin Jefferson jersey on. But it's all worth it, man. It's all worth it. You're a champion now. Aaron, you got any words to say?
No. Props where props is due. I mean, he was, out of any team in the league, absolutely just due for a championship. Was getting so close every year. It was almost going to be the running joke that Anthony was the Bills when it comes to just getting there. Never could get over the top. But he finally eclipsed it, and hats off to him, man. I mean, he beat me fair and square, and I can rest easy knowing, hey, I lost to the champ. So give him his props.
That is true. Consistently great. Consistently great.
Yeah, my only thing to add is thank God that we didn't have to add Stretch's name a third time in 4 years to that trophy.
I would quit.
If we could at least keep playing for something. We might have disbanded the league if it was that. So
yeah,
thank you, Anthony.
We don't deserve that. The world doesn't deserve it. Our grandkids wouldn't deserve that. Just a Stretch three-time champion.
Our fans in Africa wouldn't deserve it.
Thank you, for real.
Are they listening, by the way? Are they still listening?
I hope so. It's been over almost a year.
That's like our main fan base. So,
Africa and Ireland, baby, for whatever reason. All right, Anthony, again, congrats from the podcast host. Congrats from, I'm sure, all of our listeners. You did it, brother. You did it. Now, does your team look as good next year? Yeah, we'll get into that. But it's all that matters. You will forever be enshrined in this league history, my man. Congratulations to you and your family. What do you guys say the best way to go down memory lane is some leagues? What do you say we just jump into those?
Let's do it.
Love it.
No special music this year, but we all know how special this occasion is. The leagues happen once every year. It is the most prestigious award in all of awards. I mean, you know, you got the Oscars, you got the Emmys, you got the ESPYs.
You got the leagues.
You got the leagues. Yep. I mean, come on, man. Everybody watches the leagues. Everybody knows. Everybody votes for the leagues. In case you need a refresher, we have 7 awards to give out this year. We'll be going on the draft pick of the year from the rookie draft. Who got the best one? The waiver wire move of the year. The comeback player of the year. Who was the most improved player in this year compared to last year? The biggest disappointment of the year. Unfortunately, we do have to give that one out. The Art of the Deal Award. Who is just banging down your door asking for trades this year, more so than previous years? My personal favorite, the trade of the year, we will give out, as well as the team of the year. I have the winners here, and Aaron and Tim do not. So this will be a nice little fun game where they can guess and things like that. So we'll just start with the draft pick. Aaron, remind us again the details of draft pick of the year.
So when it comes to the draft pick of the year, this is going to be based off of the rookie draft. So picks rounds 1 through 3, you're going to be able to determine, okay, who had value when it comes to who they drafted and who really was able to get a really good pick in places where maybe we overlooked it, or maybe the league in and of itself just didn't really see it as a value at the time. And now we're looking back and that person's a absolute stud or just a value for the team.
I feel that. Your nominees for draft pick of the year. We had Tank Dell picked by Hayden at the 310.
Good Lord.
Oh, man. The 310. We had Josh Downs picked at the 302 by Zach. Jaden Reed picked at the 307 by Clayton. CJ Stroud picked all the way at 204 by Zach. And then Sam Laporta, the tight end one last year, picked at 203 by Stretch. Tim, who did you vote for here?
It's the easiest decision in the world. I mean, Tank Dell.
Yeah.
310.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Last pick of the draft. Last pick of the draft. Tim says Tank Dell. Do you say Tank Dell as well?
I also voted Tank. Yep.
did this league agree with you? The winner of the 2024 League for Draft Pick of the Year goes to... It is Hayden. It is Tank Dell at the 310. Congratulations, sir. That got 50% of the vote. We had two votes for Sam Laporta at 203. We had one vote, probably Zach, for CJ Stroud, and one vote for Jaden Reed at the 307 by Clayton. I agree with you guys. I thought that was pretty self-explanatory. The last pick of the draft, you get a receiver that Hayden well knows I'm obsessed with. So,
and the previous year's winner was Clayton and Damian Pierce.
Thank you for
204.
Wow. How tides turn, man.
Wild. This is dynasty for you.
We were all loving Damian Pierce last year. Now it's who? Who is that? That's funny. All right. Congratulations to Hayden. Your leaguey is on the way. Let's move on to the next one. One of my favorites as well. The waiver wire move of the year. Tim, how about we dive into the details of the waiver wire move of the year?
The waiver wire move of the year is usually one of two things. It's somebody who's paying attention in the offseason, checking out training camp, rookie camp, preseason games, really getting in there, scouting things out, and maybe get somebody cheap for all year long. Or it's somebody late in the season who dumps fab for somebody that may help them ride to a championship, ride deep into the playoffs. Could be one of many things to be a candidate for waiver wire move of the year. It's somebody who's active in this league.
Sure can. And in case you need a reminder, last year's winner was Steven, dropping $2 fab on Jerick McKinnon after week 14. That I think really helped him lead him into the playoffs. Obviously, he didn't win, but I think he was a vital member that probably propelled a late season surge into the playoffs. I thought, interestingly, one waiver wire move that didn't win last year, that I'm sure in retrospect would, Mr. Tim Raider picked up Isaiah Pacheco for $0 fab last year.
That's my guy.
And now look at him. Now look at him. Probably going to be a top 15 guy this year. Your nominees for waiver wire move of the year this week, or this year. We had Stretch drop $2 fab on Mr. Trey McBride in the preseason. $2 fab.
Jeez.
Hayden dropping $0 on Puka Nacua, August 14th. Notably, Hayden did pick him up for $2 fab earlier in the preseason, dropped him, and then proceeded to pick him back up. So Hayden almost really avoided a bullet there. Your third choice was your boy dropping $0 fab on Mr. Kyren Williams in the preseason, and then Zach dropping $0 fab on Zamir White after week 8, who I'm sure will be what he hopes to be a pretty important contributor to his squad this year. Tim, who'd you vote for here?
This was a tougher decision on this one. I really wanted to vote for Kyren and you, but in the end, I gave it to Hayden again. Man, Puka Nacua, just who could have seen that coming? Who could have seen that coming?
I didn't. Yes. Aaron, did you vote for Puka as well?
It was between Puka or Kyren, and because of the scarcity of the RB position and the fact that you ended up picking up an RB that became a top five running back for $0 fab, one pissed me off, and two just is an incredible value. So I went with you.
Yep. And I will self-indulge briefly that I've dropped Zamir White after 2 years of him just riding my bench. I dropped him for freaking Zach Evans.
Yowza.
Preseason king.
Oh, Zach Evans. All right. I know Zach, he would not go to bed peacefully unless he heard that. So your winner of the waiver wire move of the year for 2024. He's going to have to get a bigger trophy case. Hayden and $0 fab on Puka Nacua takes home waiver wire move of the year, getting 87% of the vote. Myself and Kyren got one vote, so thank you, Aaron, for that move. So two leagues heading to Hayden now. I don't think that wasn't surprising that much either. Your next one is the comeback player of the year. Who struggled 2 years ago now, who then came back and had a great season last year? No real late season surge. Tim, you might feel a little cheated. I know you had to go through that gauntlet of winning a certain amount of games to make the playoffs. But the two options you have this year were myself, your boy, Team Fairlife, who began finished last season at 6-8, and then who improved to 9-5 and made the playoffs. Or you had Hated and Intua Infinity and Bijan, who went 4-10 2 years ago and finished the year at 9-5, who also made the playoffs and got beat by your boy. So, Aaron, who'd you vote for on this one?
For me, I voted for Hayden.
Hayden.
I think just the season that he had previously and then to come in and just have a total turnaround and his roster looking really good this year too, I think that just was a clear winner to me.
Yep. Tim, you agree?
Yeah, I didn't realize this was like a praise Hayden night, but yeah, I did as well. I mean, you see it in the draft pick of the year, the waiver wire move of the year, really turned his team around. The future looks bright.
Could be comeback. I will say I did Hayden as well. I think he's just the blueprint of how you rebuild, right? Like, he really kind of tanked, and then he got two top three picks, and Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs really turned his team around, and now look at him. You know, he could be considered a favorite for this year, so... Tanking 101, Hayden did a good job there. Did the rest of the league agree? Your leaguey for comeback player of the year this season. Hold off on sending his trophies because we're just going to send them all in bulk. It's Hayden, once again, your comeback player of the year. Congratulations to you, sir, getting 87% of the vote once again. It is the Hayden Show. Can you keep it up? I don't know. We are going to move on to one that we do, unfortunately, have to give out this year. It is the biggest disappointment of the year. Aaron, you don't know what this feels like, so how about you say your opinion of what the biggest disappointment of the year award is?
Yeah, so biggest disappointment of the year, in my mind, it's a team that on paper looks like a title contender and somebody who is going to make a deep playoff run. Perhaps even make it to the championship game, you know, maybe not win it, but is going to be right there. Definitely top four, you know, by the time the season's over. And in reality, it just doesn't turn out that way. Their team, for whatever reason, doesn't show up really the way that we think that they should. And so that's kind of the background here.
Yeah. I agree. Your candidates, or actually the winner of this year of the award last year, was Zach and Brees Lightning. I don't remember why we gave it to him.
He had so much off-season hype a couple years ago.
Yeah, that is true.
Pre-Javonte injury, like I think Brees Hall, like, yeah, he had off-season hype out the rear.
He had Keenan Allen, I remember.
Uh-huh.
He had somebody else too. I forget who.
Yeah.
Was he Dalvin Cook?
Maybe.
He was cooking up more for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he had Dalvin Cook. He
traded him to Steven.
Yeah,
that's right. That it's all coming back to us now. So, again, I mean, Zach, I think he did it the right way, right? He realized his season wasn't going well, and so let's go get some firsts. And Marvin Harrison Jr., it turned out to be. So, Zach got that award last year. Your nominees this year was Zach, once again, and Brees Lightning. Tim and Close But No Jamar, Mount Passmore, Don and Njigbas in Paris, and Clayton and the Red Rocket. I will say this is the closest vote yet we have had. Aaron, who'd you vote for here?
I'm sorry, Tim. I voted for you. I feel like we, in the off season, and I was totally on board. I was like, look, Tim's, you know, team on paper looks so good, so formidable. I thought for sure that he would be definitely second round of the playoffs, but the barely sneak in and then lose first round. It was disappointing. And I expect, again, this year I'm going to probably rate him pretty high because his team looks like it's unstoppable in some respects. So hopefully better things to come.
Yep. And Tim, did you vote for yourself?
You know, I did not. The guys had a tough start to last year, you know, trip down memory lane. I started the year 1-5, ended the year 7-7. So it was definitely an uphill battle. We're proud of the team. And Anthony has Christian McCaffrey, and that's what I ran into in the playoffs.
Correct. Yes.
I voted for Don on this one because last year in the offseason, if you'll recall, he was my dark horse pick for championship contender. I loved what he had done. I loved kind of the upside of a lot of his players. And it, unfortunately, like, it just didn't pan out. I don't think there, you know, there wasn't any like massive disappointments. It just kind of fell flat.
It's weird because I voted Don as well. If you take a trip back down in memory lane, he had a prime Chris Olave. He had a Hollywood Brown on the Cardinals. He had Miles Sanders, who my sources tell me three different people tried to give him a first round pick for. I was freaking one of them. All right. So, yeah, I agree with you, Tim. I think Don had, I called his team really solid last year. I was like, not a lot of holes. He's going to be competitive in every game. He's definitely probably going to make the playoffs just because of the depth that he has. And none of that happened. And he drafted Bryce Young. So that's certainly a disappointment. Yeah, so we have, what, one for Tim? You voted for Tim? And two for Don. We're everywhere, like I said, on this one. What did the league agree? Unfortunately, the biggest disappointment for 2024 is... It is Tim. It is close, but no Jamar. I'm sorry, sir. Yay.
We'll put that on the shelf and use that as motivation this year. And we're shooting for comeback player of the year next year.
Yeah. I like it.
Dude, you turn around and win the nut. Like, we don't even have to vote. Like, that's you.
Yeah.
Hey, I see the script now.
I could see it. All right. Well, your leaguey is in the mail, Tim. I'm sorry to break it to you. Use it as motivation, like you said. The next deal we are going to go into is the Art of the Deal Award. Now, I'll take this one because this one isn't just who had the most trades, right? It's who's blowing up your phone constantly, who won't leave you alone about a certain trade, who won't, you know, take a hint and, you know, when you counter three first-round picks and they're still going, like they don't take the hint, you know? Who is that guy that was just on it with the trades this year? Last year, Stretch won this award with 10 completed trades in 1 year, which is pretty insane. For reference, this year we only had 15 total trades. So Stretch was just on it last year, and he won it, obviously, with that much trade activity. Your nominees this year for the Art of the Deal Award are... Here we go. We have Stretch again, Walker, a hardly knower, with 5 completed trades. We have your boy, Team Fairlife, with 4 completed trades. We have Breece Lightning with 4 completed trades. We have Close But No Jamar, who had the high mark of 6 completed trades in 2024. And then we had Mount Passmore with 4 completed trades. Aaron, who'd you vote for here?
I gave Tim the nod on this one. I feel like he was very active off-season. In season,
was.
Always, you know, jiving, trying to find a way to make his team better or just try different things through trades. And that's really what Dynasty is all about. So a lot of respect to him to just be, you know, inquiring as well. I've had so many discussions with Tim about trades, and I'm sure the rest of the league has. And so I feel like he deserves this one.
Tim, did you vote for yourself?
Dude, I'm not going to lie. This was a couple hours ago. I can't remember who I voted for.
Nice. Adds to the suspense, man. I voted for Tim as well. Rolling and dealing, giving a whole draft for Sam Laporta. I love that kind of stuff. I voted for Tim on the Art of the Deal. What did the league decide? Mr. Art of the Deal for 2024. You got to love it. It's a crowd favorite. And Tim, you're not going home super sad tonight because you are the winner of the Art of the Deal.
We're double fisting tonight.
For 2024, you got a piece of crap in one hand and a dollar bill in the other hand. Just Mr. Businessman. I like it. I like it. Congratulations to you, Tim. 6 completed trades, the highest in the league, gets you the Art of the Deal Award. 2 more awards to give out on this wonderful evening. We will go now to my favorite, the Trade of the Year. I love these because now you can even go back and like plug in names, you know, like who was the draft pick that they used on that and such. Last year, in case you need a reminder, the winner of the Trade of the Year was between Anthony and Clayton. It was titled McCaffrey Finally Moves. Clayton received Jeff Wilson, Dawson Knox, a 2024 first, which I actually didn't look up who that turned into. I had it on it, didn't I?
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. 2024 first, In a 2024 second, and Anthony in return received Christian McCaffrey, Curtis Samuel, and a 2023 302.
The fact he got Christian plus just.
Oh,
2024 first was Brian Thomas at the 110.
110.
Which I do really like Brian Thomas, I'm not gonna lie. But
for Christian McCaffrey, just straight up
not
doing
that
deal.
Definitely not.
Yeah, one definitely. Would you expect to get a 110 for your first?
Yeah. Definitely doesn't doesn't waive how I view that trade, but
right. And honestly, that trade probably even aged nicer because Christian McCaffrey eliminated Tim and helped Anthony to get to the playoffs. So
he won him a championship.
I mean, he did. Yeah, really. Those are the kind of moves you had to do. And we actually have a similar trade to that. Well, not similar, but a similar one that kind of helped Anthony reach the apex. Your nominees this year for trade of the year. We had the preseason. Some would call, and by some, I mean not Aaron on this podcast, the Aaron robbery, where Aaron received Mark Andrews and Zach received Deontay Johnson, Darnell Mooney, and a 2024 second round pick, which was the 209 that turned into Troy Franklin. So you can plug him in there. The next one, also in the preseason, titled, "Is This the Trade That Delivered Anthony the Nut? But at What Cost?" Where Tim received C.D. Lamb and Jaylen Warren, where Anthony received Joe Mixon, Ramondre Stevenson, and a 2024 second, which ended up being Adonai Mitchell. So not too bad. Not too bad. Obviously, I think Anthony took those running backs with the depth that he needed, and they were both pretty essential on his run. In week six, this one is titled A Spear to Mitchum's Heart, where I received Tajay Spears, who was bright and bushy-eyed and beautiful, and I gave Zach a 2025 first and Ronnie Rivers. So that's fun. That's great. Week seven, this one's called Tim Goes Brown, where Tim receives A.J. Brown, a 2025 third, a 2026 first, and a 2026 third, where Steven received D.K. Metcalf, a 25 second, a 24 first, which was Clayton's first that turned into Marvin Harrison Jr. I remember Tim was very reluctant to give that pickup because he could see the future, and he saw there was a good shot that was going to be the 101. If I'm speaking on your behalf here, Tim.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That was one I hung on to, is definitely valued highly, but at the end of the day, decided to push the chips in, as you'll see.
There you go. And then two more here before week 10. I'm calling this one Sam LaPoli Crap, where Tim received Sam LaPorta, Sam Howell, a 2024 third round pick, who ended up being Ray Davis after Tim traded it to Clayton. And Stretch received two firsts, 2 seconds, 2 thirds, and Dallas Goedert. And one of those 24 seconds turned into Jermaine Burton, wide receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals. And your last one was before week 11, and this one was shrewd, man. I like this one a lot, where Zach bet on himself. Zach received his own 2024 first, which ended up being Marvin Harrison Jr., and Steven received his own 2024 first, which ended up being Malik Nabers, and as well as a 2024 third, which ended up being Roman Wilson. That one was shrewd. That one got my vote, personally. Aaron, which one did you vote for?
I voted for the Zach and Steven trade as well. I feel like, you know, Zach had some gonads.
Bet on himself,
bet,
man.
Bet on yourself.
Win the toilet
you
bowl.
You want MHJ, go and get him. And that's right. He did it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Tim, who'd you vote for?
I believe I voted for that one as well, because just the gall to be able to say, nope, we're gonna settle this like men.
Right.
I'm getting my pick, you're getting your pick, and we're going to go fight this on the fantasy football field.
We love that kind of stuff here, and did the rest of the league love it? The prestigious Trade of the Year Award. The dual award goes to Tim Raider and Stretch for the Sam LaPoli Crap trade.
Wow.
With 4 votes, 50% of the vote goes to that one. Zach and Steven got 3 votes, and the trade that delivered Anthony the Nut got 1 vote. So, yeah, there you go. I think the Anthony one had a good shout, too. Like I said, I think he you can kind of trace that one, I think, because I remember his running back depth before that trade was horrendous. I think he was still rolling out Zeke as like a starting running back.
Yeah.
So.
And if you're curious, I just was, again, memory lane, reminded myself, Zeke was his starting running back in the playoffs because Ramondre was out.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Mixon played those three games and averaged 12 points per game.
Anthony's out here playing chess, baby. He's out here playing chess, bro. Anthony, good for you, dude. God, you're so easy to root for. Now, do I want you to win again? Absolutely not. But I'm glad you won this year. Tim and Stretch, your leagueies are in the mail. Congratulations. And that leads us, ladies and gentlemen, with the big one. The one that everybody wants. It's the team of the year. Now, I know what you're thinking. Team of the year, it's just the team that won, right? But no, the team of the year, who had the most storylines? Who had the biggest roller coaster? Who maybe had the most trades? Who had the most dynamic trade that led him to a championship? Who was hilariously bad and just really entertaining to follow? Like, team of the year can be whatever you want it to be. The previous year, it was Stretch. It was Super Camaro because he won the title. And he was also very fun. He won the Art of the Deal. So his team was just very fun to watch and watch all of the pieces come together. This year, your nominees for team of the year, it's everybody. Everybody is eligible for this one. Aaron, where did you go for the big one for team of the year?
I'm not going to lie, I forget. Yeah, I'm going to pull a Tim here and
suspense.
Say I forget. Hey, I want to say, though, that I went with Hayden because of just the turnaround that he had.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, how far can Bijan and Jameer take you? And it took him from blood a comeback player of the year. So that was pretty entertaining to watch. Tim, who'd you get?
Yeah, as much as I'd love for me and Hayden to just, like, sweep the leagues this year, I voted Anthony. The comeback story, everybody felt the heartbreak and just the gut-wrenching feeling of the year prior. We were on life alert, you know. It was such a relief, I think, for everyone to see that.
Thank God. Anthony was going to be on suicide watch if he didn't get that one. I voted Anthony as well. A very niche reference, but Anthony, you finished your story. You did it.
Yeah.
You completed the arc, man. You finished the story on the biggest stage, through the heartbreak, through the trades that got you there. Trading away CD is a ballsy move. That was one of the biggest trades of the year, and it was just awesome to see you complete your story, man. So I voted for Anthony as well. The winner of Team of the Year for 2024. He gets a nut. He gets Team of the Year as well. It's Anthony. It's Team Uninspired Youth. Now, I swear, if he wins again next year, no way. No way. Like, it's like an underdog story. It's fun. But if you win again, it's like, okay, all right, we get it. That's enough slices, you know?
Your name's on that trophy. You don't get the pity vote anymore.
That's true. And that is your leagues, ladies and gentlemen, for 2024. Thank you for coming. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back next year, man. And be thinking of these as the season goes on, man. You know, you want to go for Art of the Deal? Go for Art of the Deal, man. You want to go for, you know, trade of the year, make something explosive. Make the league go wow. You know, like Sam Laporta did for Tim's entire draft for the next like 7 years. Mm-hmm. You know? But hey, yeah, he's a tight end one. Isn't that right, Tim?
I got four draft picks. Somebody come take them off my hands, please.
Burning a hole in his pocket. That is your 2024 leagueies. Thank you so much for joining us. And before we wrap up, we're gonna dive into the off season. We're gonna look back before we look forward. Let's get into it.
Broncos country, let's ride.
And we gotta update that.
Wow. Steelers Nation, let's steal. Let's work.
Dude, he's gonna get
iron.
It's Pittsburgh.
He's gonna get cut. He is awful.
Justin Fields.
I'm gonna maybe drop him. I might do it.
You have been saying like a third anybody, a third round pick, and everybody's like,
I wish our league had fourths because I would offer a fab. I would be like, a fourth, anyone? Yeah.
Yeah, you might be able to get a fab, but I don't know that he's getting any picks.
It's funny.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
All right. Well, your offseason winners and losers. And like I mentioned earlier, we're talking like real life NFL moves, right? Like a player moves or a player gets competition added or, you know, a player gets traded to a different situation or a head coach. It can be anything. But we're just looking at the rosters in total, whose rosters got impacted the most positively and whose rosters got impacted the most negatively. Myself, Tim, and Aaron each picked a winner and a loser. Our only rule was we couldn't pick ourselves because who wants to listen to that? Just us talking about our own teams. So, Aaron, if it's all right with you, I'll probably throw it your way. You want to start winners or losers?
Let's go winners.
All right. Who is your winner of the offseason?
So I know we're not going to be talking too in-depth about the rookie draft, but my winner, it's a piece of it, so I am going to touch on it.
All right.
My winner is Don, and the reason I picked Don is the rookie draft he had, I think, really did make a big impact. And just a few of the guys that he got to his team, Jonathan Brooks, Xavier Worthy, the senator, Ben Sinnott. I think some of those pieces will turn out to be fruitful long-term for him because I think realistically, if you're Don, you're trying to be competitive this year, but you're not thinking you're going to win the championship. Most likely, right? Outside of, you know, maybe just people just overperforming their, you know, just where they're supposed to be projected this year. And you get two starters out of the rookie draft that he immediately puts into his lineup, and it just makes his team look so much better. And then really, I also like that there wasn't a lot of turnover for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's got some consistency. He still has Olave. Brock Purdy looks a little better than this time last year as like a quarterback that in his QB spot that he can rely on and can be a steady presence. Not saying he's going to be, you know, a locked in top 10 QB, but I don't think he's worse than QB 12.
He's not going to finish outside 15.
Right. So I think that's better than what we could have said previously for Don when he's trying to, you know, roll out Booty Rogers, you know, just getting hurt and all that stuff. And not saying, you know, at this point he's a playoff team, but it just isn't out of the realm of possibility, especially if his rookies outperform where they are projected to finish. So I think he's just got other talent too that he's held on to that I think can help him to be in store for a year if it goes right.
See, that's crazy because I was between my pick for loser and Don as my losers, actually. And again, I'm kind of focusing more on like the non-rookies, but like Tony Pollard moved, I think, to a worse situation.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a hot take, but we all know how in love I am with Tajay Spears. I think he's the more talented, younger back. Brandon Ayuk, with all this trade stuff, if he does get traded, he is going to be traded to a worse situation. Like, yeah. It's going to be tough to get better than the 49ers and Brock Purdy, especially when you're linked with Pittsburgh and New England and stuff like that. Yeah. Chris Olave, his situation just hasn't changed for me. Like,
I find that as a strength because when you look at it, you know, they didn't go out and try to draft any additional competition for him. And I'm a big Olave believer. He's like a my guy for me this year.
Yeah, I guess what I would say, like, you didn't have 1 week last year when you were like, man, Chris Olave just took over.
No, he needs to prove
and
it.
And, like,
I
don't know if the situation has changed enough to be like, yeah, he's really going to make the leap, you know, when you got the same quarterback. Yeah, you got a different offensive coordinator, but you got the same head coach, things like that. Terry McLaurin, we all love him. We all love Jaden Daniels, but ultimately he is a rookie quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is a year older. And then Hollywood Brown, I mean, still just fighting injuries. So, yeah, his situation did improve. But
do we want to just spoiler alert here and jump into my loser?
Sure.
So you're hitting a lot of my good talking points there.
Oh, you picked Don?
I sure did.
Wow.
I sure did.
All right. Well, sorry. I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
No. It's all good. I got similar thoughts. And for me, like, if I'm going to boil it down into a sentence – last year, I picked Don as my wild card to win the nut, as I said earlier. This year, I sure as heck wouldn't. I don't think there's a single player that broke out, nor a single player in a better position than they were last year. A lot of stagnant, stale water, you know, some older players now that aren't probably worth anything.
That's a good adjective. I like that. Just stale, just nasty, like mosquito infested.
Rainwater that just never went away.
Yeah.
Mosquitoes buzzing around there.
You're not hanging out there.
I'll agree the young guys have upside, but I can't sit here and say that he's better than he was.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. Sorry, Aaron. We're just crapping on your pick, man.
It's all good. I think I went a little more of like, I just really enjoyed his draft.
That's fair.
Rookies. And think that he made a lot of really good choices there.
Yeah. So, like I said, we will have a full draft review for you here soon on another episode. Don certainly had some interesting picks, to Aaron's point. But let's gas it up a little bit. Want me to do my winner?
Go ahead.
I'll do my winner. Sure. So, you guys know how much this pains me to say. Like, I want to throw up in my mouth saying this, and you probably already know where this is going. But my winner of the offseason is Stretch. And for me, ooh, you know, it's not even a lot about, like, guys moving to better situations. You can have guys stay put, and their situation improves there that, you know, really factored into my decision here, right? So, you know, when you look at his roster, right, Anthony Richardson back fully healthy. Right, he's not having any limitations in training camp. He should be good. Ken Walker, I think, is a winner as well because it's been all quiet in Seattle camp, which makes me think that the situation between him and Charbonnet remains the same. Right, whenever both Kenneth Walker and Charbonnet were active, Kenneth Walker was averaging over 18 totes a game, dude. Like, he was the guy there. And even if he were to go down, Charbonnet is also on his roster. So I think when it comes to, like, which one do I play? Are they going to be a 50-50 backfield? Which, you know, with year two of Charbonnet, you would think that could be a potential, right? But just from what I've been hearing out of Seattle, I'm saying like I'm an insider, from what the voices have been from Seattle, I don't think that's going to change much. I think Ken Walker's still the guy there. Devontae Adams, we'll get into that, but he's on his team. In my opinion, Minshew being the starter is a good thing. Do you guys agree with that? I've been hearing some Aiden O'Connell praise, but like,
they both suck.
Minshew helped Pittman last year, so.
Yeah, it's Minshew's the easy answer, in my opinion, for who helps Devontae Adams.
Right. I would agree that Minshew's a better situation than O'Connell, both are kind of booty cheeks.
If we're doing like, you know, our quasi my guys, I think Mike Evans would be it for me. I have doubted him for 2-3 years. I thought he's gross, but I'm done. Okay, I'm done doubting him. He's going into the same exact situation with the same quarterback, same weapons. What's going to stop him from finishing as the wide receiver 7 again? Oh, he's 30. He's literally been doing this for like 10 years, 9 years, all right? Like, he's probably going to do the same thing and piss us all off in this season again. He's going in the exact same situation. Garrett Wilson gets a quarterback back. That's a huge W. And then even on his bench, I think Arizona deciding to stick with Kyler, then bringing him back. James Conner is still the starter. I think the last message out of there was he's kind of like the distant RB1 over Trey Benson. And then even Montgomery with the recent hamstring injury that Jahmyr Gibbs has picked up. You know, I don't want to say like, you know, injuries are mean win, but I mean, for that situation with how valuable of a handcuff Montgomery is, I think that's a win. And then even for his few guys that did move, right? I think Cortland Sutton could be really sneaky this year. You get rid of Jerry Jeudy and you bring in Troy Franklin, who's, in my opinion, a Marvin Mims 2.0. So I think Cortland Sutton's going to be the easy target leader there for Bo Nix, who likes to throw it short. Lots of receptions. We are a PPR league. And then Darnell Mooney looking like the solid wide receiver too in what may be a moving Atlanta offense. So I think he could be sneaky as well. So when you group all that together, I'm having a hard time finding players on his roster that were hurt. I mean, even Josh Jacobs, you could argue, is moving to a better offense. So Stretch is my winner. That makes me want to throw up in my mouth, but that's my thoughts. Any disagreeers in the crowd?
Yeah, I would say I disagree quite a bit.
Okay. Bring it on, bro.
Yeah,
where's my drop? Come on.
Yeah, let's get in the ring for a second. Not saying that Stretch deserves to be in the loser category by any means, but as far as a winner, I just don't necessarily see it. Because if I'm Stretch, right, I have Anthony Richardson and I have Kyler Murray.
Great duo.
Great duo in a one QB league, though, where you can only play one, which is just going to be such a frustrating thing all year long. And in my mind, you trade one of them, and if you're going to be an all-in guy, try to go for the ship, I mean, you could get a king's ransom for a rebuild team if you try to trade AR to upgrade some of those other roster spots. So keeping both of them doesn't make sense because they're two starters as opposed to a starter and a backup. Kenneth Walker, not a fan of him this year. I think he's going to kind of be toast. I think he really tailed off last year, even though he got a bunch of totes. I don't see it.
He's 23.
I just don't see it, though.
He's so young still.
I don't see it. Yeah, I'm just not a fan of him. I don't believe in him. I do think Devontae was a good trade for him to get him in the flex spot. I agree with you on Mike Evans. I think everybody doubts him every year, and I think he's going to be good. I mean, Sutton is just... he's okay. I can see where you're coming from on that, but he also didn't really impress me.
He's sneaky.
He can be, yeah. And yeah, Garrett Wilson, I love his talent, but Aaron Rodgers, we'll just have to see. So I just think there's a little more question marks that make me less bullish than maybe you are on him. But I don't know. What do you think, Tim?
I think I'm somewhere in the middle. You know, I nodded my head a lot with Chris and then nodded my head with you a little bit there. I like a bounce back year for Ken Walker. I like James Conner, Mr. Always There, Montgomery, Garrett Wilson being a big winner there, getting Rodgers back. And then not necessarily on board with Sutton and Mooney as being call outs. I think they're kind of toast, he might throw them in when he got some bye weeks going on.
I would say both of their situations have improved, though.
Situations.
Yeah, they've improved.
Sure.
And Kyler Murray coming back fully healthy, like, he's the guy. Richardson's going to have to come out and, like, I don't think it's a controversy to start the season. Now, if Richardson pulls through on, all the hype, then, yeah, he's going to have to be back and forth a little bit.
But
I think
Colts.
To start the season is clearly Kyler. And I was scrolling around here, Aaron, like your comment on the QB is interesting to me. We've got some parity in the league. Like quarterbacks across the board.
Yes.
Like
that's a problem for me specifically.
Yeah, that's
Jalen Hurts, one's got Josh Allen, CJ Stroud, Justin Herbert, Kyler and Anthony Richardson, Joe Burrow, Brock Purdy, Patrick Mahomes and Tua, Lamar Jackson. And then, like, Dak Prescott was QB3 last year.
Yeah.
Aaron, you've still got him. You've still got upside. And Caleb Williams and Trevor. And you've got Kirk Cousins on a bounce back with a high power in Atlanta. Like, QB parity exists right now.
You can't forget Russell Wilson.
out of your five, he's the only one I was cool not mentioning.
Did we have a Russell Wilson drop that wasn't Let's Ride? I thought we did.
Dropped Russell Wilson? What?
Yeah. There he is. He's cooking. What kind of sucks is if I drop him, I have to change my name. And I just don't know if I'm ready for that.
That's a commitment right there. That's true. All right. Well, Tim, we'll throw it over to you. We already know who your loser is. How about your winner? Let's get positive in here.
You know, my winner, we're going to talk nice to Anthony one more time.
Oh, wow.
Anthony is my off-season winner.
I love Anthony.
And it's got to do with mainly the running back room for him. You still got CMC. Rashad White was a guy that the Bucs easily could have drafted a replacement or somebody to compete with him. They wait till the fourth or fifth on Bucky Irving. Like,
yeah, some
he'll take two targets a game away and one carry. That's not going to really impact him. Zeke, maybe the Dallas starting running back again.
His situation improved. I mean, that's what this segment is, right? It's situation improved, right? You don't have to be a star, but Zeke is higher this year than he was
that are
going to
look
year.
Better in the starting lineup.
Right.
Joe Mixon, there was doubts about him in Cincinnati. He goes to the Texans, who, if their line stays healthy, is great, and he's the clear RB1 there.
Yep.
Chuba Hubbard's going to start the year real strong while Brooks is on IR. For me, the biggest obvious black eye is Justin Jefferson losing his QB.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to bring that up.
But if he's healthy, he's the type of receiver who's going to volume his way to still being a top 10 guy. Like if he plays 16 out of, or 17 games, I would bet, I'd bet the house that he's going to finish top 10. He's just going to get 50 games with 15 targets, 20 targets. It's going to be unreal to watch him.
Yeah, I think I line up in the middle. there as well. Justin Jefferson kind of scares me because I'm not saying you're wrong that he can't finish top 10, but you want Jefferson to be top 5. I mean, that's kind of what has propelled Anthony to the highs we've seen him get, right? Is Christian McCaffrey, Lamar Jackson pop-off games, Justin Jefferson winning him weeks, Travis Kelce at a certain point winning him weeks, and kind of like carrying the rest of his roster to me. So I fear if you really lose one of those high upside guys, that's just been his MO, right? I mean, you even saw it in the championship game last year. Lamar Jackson gets him 48, which is almost half of his points, and gets him a nut, you know? So, yeah, but I do, you know, I do like, I think Zay Flowers takes a step forward this year. I think he's somebody that's really being slept on. Mm-hmm. I've grown on him over the past like 2-3 months just as I've thought about what the Ravens are
going to
look like.
It's a cute little stack there for him with Lamar.
I mean, it won him the nut last year, you know? So I think that is good. Yeah, I guess I would lean more win than loss. What about you?
Yeah, I would also agree. I think he deserves to be in a winner spot here. You can't argue with the CMC Lamar Kelce combo. I mean, that's just been absolutely elite ever since he's had them in our league. So that's just always going to keep you competitive, and it's hard to argue that. Running backs, Ramondre, I think, is a good piece. I think Joe Mixon will be respectable. Zeke is like, whatever. I mean,
he could be a guy, man.
He could, sure. Maybe
if he gets anything, if
he's going to be in his flex.
Sure. If he could flex him and get at
he's
least.
He's going to beat you with 3 touchdowns one
he
week.
He probably
I'm
will.
Calling it.
Oh, I'm sure he will. Yeah.
Just 30 yards, 18 carries, and 3 tutties.
Yeah. And Rashad White, though, I will push back on him, is just, man, kind of the same thing where it's like when you really watch him and it's like, is he really a good running back? And it's like, I don't think so. I think he just had a lot of volume last year. So, I mean, maybe he can volume his way again to some good point totals, but we'll see.
Yeah, I agree there. I'm not saying he's a good running back. I just think, you know, situation didn't really change for him. If anything, he solidified that
for sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was very surprised they didn't get anybody else.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Are we done talking good about Anthony? All right. He's probably just, you know, getting hard on, laying there with his broken foot. You know. All right. Aaron, we know your winner was Don. Who is your loser? Second to last one here.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Steven on this one. Okay. And the reason is because I just can't figure out his strategy. I don't really understand fully where we're at here. I thought going into the offseason and some of the moves that he was making, and even the trade with Tim, just acquiring some draft capital, getting younger. When you look at his roster, he's got some young receivers, right? But then, like, tight end is old, right? He's got George Kittle starting right now. And he's got on the bench Dalton Schultz and Evan Ingram. And it's like, okay, it's a lot of tight end depth randomly. And then,
why do you have such a good tight end, Steven, out of nowhere?
And then, you know, they're older in age. And then you've got, you know, Justin Herbert, who is a staple at quarterback, but it's like taking a look at that further. Okay, how could he have maybe gotten younger there? Like, to just really embrace the rebuild of like getting a younger guy, like, you know, trying to go for Anthony Richardson or something. And then, you know, he has the 102 and 103. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, he's going to get 2 quality young wide receivers for him to just continue to solidify that I am rebuilding this team. Mm-hmm. Especially given that 2025 is going to be pretty deep with running back, mm-hmm. from what it sounds like. And you trade that away to go get JT, which that's more of a win now move, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Where it's like JT's in his prime. You would do that if you really feel like you have, you know, a team that's ready to compete and ready to go for a ship. And I just don't see his team as that. And so,
but what if your running back 2 was AJ Dillon? And what if your running back 2 now is Chase Brown?
Yeah, and then it's like the glaring hole of his RB2 is just very bad. Outside of just Chase Brown surprising us all, which maybe Tim has some insight being the Bengals fan here that he could, you know, compete with Zach Moss for carries, but I don't see that, at least on the onset. And then Christian Kirk is like, he's an okay flex, but you added Brian Thomas, so like, how's that gonna work? And I don't know. I think I'm just frustrated for Steven, and I make him the loser because it's like, make a decision. You know, are you gonna try to compete? Are you gonna rebuild? And I feel like he's kind of doing this like weird soft rebuild in my eyes that might leave him disappointed.
Yeah, so I was between Don and Steven for my losers. Ended up going the Don route. Steven, my biggest like just ouch for him outside of what Aaron's kind of touched on would be the fact that he did get, you know, the clear wide receiver two in Malik Nabers, but he went to the Giants and could have gone to the Chargers one pick ahead and been in a much better fantasy situation.
Yeah, that's true. I looked at Steven and I'm like, for me, his people just didn't really change much. Like, we all agree he has not a very good roster. And I feel like nobody really drastically improved or didn't improve their situation. Everybody just kind of stayed the same. And, like, if Don was still pond water, Steven's, like, sewer water. I'm sorry, Steven. I'm sorry.
Just he poop, put like a just paper straw there water. And
tried to stir it a little bit.
Yeah, and it's just thick and has chunks in it. Just bleh. Yeah. So yeah, I feel like Steven didn't really move much, but I totally understand where you guys are coming from when it comes to him being a loser of the offseason. One last one. It is my loser, and unfortunately, I got a dog on my guy here, Tim. I chose you as the loser of the offseason. Now, like, literally by the time you guys are listening to this, like, this could come back into my face, because one part of me is the contracts with CeeDee Lamb and Ja'Marr Chase. Like, is Chad Ochocinco a dynamite, you know, insider of the NFL? No. But, like, you know, I saw a report today that was like, hey, I don't think Ja'Marr Chase plays without a new contract. And CeeDee Lamb hasn't even showed up without a new contract and declined the latest offer from the Cowboys. So
I think CeeDee did report, though.
Did he hold in?
I think he got...
They're both at camp. They're both holding in now.
Okay. I saw a report that Stephen Jones promised CeeDee like $130 million. And so
Stephen
now,
Jones?
Yeah, Jerry Jones. Son, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that makes me look bad. I'm sorry.
Gosh. So I think that satisfies him to at least be there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then those are hanging over your head. Do they get resolved? Do they impact week one? Probably not. But the fact you can't not acknowledge Tim's team without being like, hey, there's, you know, some stuff going on there. Aaron Jones, we all know he's talented. We all know he's really good, but he's going from a good offense to like a meh office who just lost their likely eventual starting quarterback. So good luck with Sam Darnold being there. Roschon Johnson, we thought maybe could really take a step forward this year. Again, a year two running back. But then you welcome in DeAndre Swift, who got paid by the Bears. And you still have Khalil Herbert there, who was running over him last year. So you could argue that Roschon Johnson is three. You're maybe looking to hope for a step up there. Jaylen Warren's status as of now is up in the air. I know today they kind of downplayed it a little bit, but we all know the danger of hamstring injuries. Tank's Bigsby, unfortunately, just remains ass. I love the latest headline from him, which said he didn't have a standout offseason program that he had last year. It's like,
and if
dang,
that was standout,
bro, yeah,
then,
right. It's like
he was a baller's my guy. Two of the ballers were my guy. You hadn't heard that yet. So
that's true.
I listened to that.
DeAndre Hopkins already banged up, and you welcome in, you know, Calvin Ridley and Tyler Boyd, who, call me crazy, I think is an upgrade on Treylon Burks and Calvin Phillips. But hey, you know, I don't know. We'll see. And lastly, I was looking at his roster, and I was like, who are these dudes? Like, you have a lot of new talent, which I don't think anybody would blame you for. But I went back and looked at what his roster looks like, and I noticed this offseason, Tim has cut Darren Waller, who retired and is now an auto-tune extraordinaire, Cedric Tillman, Sean Tucker, Michael Wilson, and Sam Howell, which I'm not saying those are bad cuts in any sense of the imagination. Like, they probably deserve to be cut. But it is a sign that those, like, dart throws that he kind of hoped maybe would generate some hype in the offseason or at the conclusion of last season, maybe they would have finished strong. You know, they didn't survive the offseason cuts, which in of itself is a negative, right? You kind of got to restart. You got to get a bunch of new guys and try to, you know, catch fire again in a bottle. So all of those being said, you know, I think you can make a better argument for Dawn, which, again, me and Tim kind of already teamed up and pooped on a little bit. But I thought, you know, for a higher caliber team who's looking to hopefully make a run this year, you know, I thought Tim, especially with some of his depth pieces, you know, maybe didn't have as great of an offseason as he could have. Tim, this is your chance to lay down the law, man. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Hey, man, you know, if Don is stagnant pond water and Steven is sewage water, I'm like a beautiful waterfall out in the rainforest. At least
I'm cutting these guys.
And we're turning over the roster. We're throwing new darts. You know, that water isn't sitting still. We're making moves, you know. We ain't waiting around to see if anybody's going to do anything. So, you know, that piece aside, you know, a lot of the depth is definitely more in question than it was the year before. A lot of my running backs are truthfully just like that kind of handcuff level pieces. You know, I'm really, really leaning on my starting roster this year, which is kind of the opposite of how I've run
which
the first
elite.
4 years.
Yeah.
Usually I kind of come in with, you know, some heavy depth and maybe try to flip two for ones here and there. But this year it definitely seems more like my starters are set. Flex two I'll play with here and there, but like the depth is definitely in question. So it's, you know, I'm that meme where like all this, you know, the flames and the swords are coming at my team and I'm sitting there on my knees, like taking it all, like the knives are in my back. It's all right. I'm getting all these leagues, all the hate today. But I got my guys back. We got it. We're a waterfall.
You're making me feel bad. Aaron, do you see where I'm coming from though? You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I think I see some of the points, right? I think it's warranted to question some of the depth that Tim has because he's an injury or two away from being in a world of hurt when it comes to his starters. But I mean, to defend Tim, that I think that's by design. Like, he's getting the most he can out of his starting lineup to compete for a ship, and you got to respect that. So
waterfall, baby.
Yeah. So I think from that perspective, it's by design, it's calculated. But yeah, I mean, you know, depth is a concern, and you know, he could ride into the sunset, not have any injuries, and he's holding up the nut, right?
Good.
He could also be sitting there at 4-10 because he had 3 season-ending injuries to key guys. I think that's kind of the volatility or spectrum that Tim's team has inherently, given up and down his lineup and the depth that he has. So, but I think I just respect it because he acknowledges it and he knows that's the situation. And he's like, you know what? I'm going for it. That's what it's all
about.
Don't care.
That's what Tim's saying.
That's right. Come at me.
Nice. All right. Well, there you have it. Our winners and losers of the offseason. For a quick one, your boy said a stretch was a winner and Tim was a loser. Aaron said Don was a winner and Steven was a loser. And Tim said Anthony was a winner and agreed with me saying Don is the loser. And just like that, we're about to wrap up our first episode in about 7 months. We made it. Wow. I usually say you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram and www.thisleepod.com. I'm not going to say that. That has been so stagnant. That is nasty, stagnant drinking water in Flint, Michigan. Don't go near that, all right? We don't want to do that. That has not seen any action in a while. But it will once the season starts back up. That is under construction right now, but we will bring that to you where you can look at rosters, waiver moves, up-to-the-minute scores so you can keep track of everything that we are doing. In anticipation for that, you can follow us at @ThisLeague_Pod, Twitter, and Instagram. Anything I missed, gentlemen, before we sign off on this episode?
Felt great being back.
Yeah.
We nailed it.
Great to be back on the mic.
I agree. Look out for an episode coming up. This league rookie draft review, predictions, all that jazz. I am Chris, your host with the mostest, signing off. Love you guys.
Peace.
Gon' get.
Find VP like Biden.
Trap that perp in the gold like a Viking. Double cup ice like Tampa Lightning. Double cup, ain't no lean. Only sip syrup when I'm with Chief Keef. Play clean, pipe Christine. I pipe
type, correct? I'm so PC. Go to the club and I don't even drink. I don't know what to think. Got a girl with me and we pop in the kitchen. Dick on heart, my nuts on a mission. I got cash, I got coins in my mileage. EDD, your credit, looking childish. Your girlfriend just changed her name to my bitch. She got...
Our pod was PG friendly before that song.
I know. I was thinking that. I was like, man, maybe I should have put the clean version. I don't know. All right.